This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout?
This is another thing that people
People do this.
What? Yes. Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you can get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
No, that's grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home.
Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. And they didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game? After the ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think in my career, that might be one of my strongest arguments I've ever made.
That one?
Yeah. I stumbled on it. It kind of came to me in the moment. Like, yeah, it is before you have to show your ticket.
Yes.
Unassailable. True. Fact.
Which means you could just go in and get it.
Yeah.
Which I still have not done since you brought that up, by the way.
You should consider.
Because I can't think. Well, it would be a movie night at home.
Yep.
But the point of that is you don't go out.
Get
and
on
you're
the way-
making me go out to get the popcorn.
Get on the way home. Hey, we're going to have a movie night. Stop at the movie theater and pick it up on your
right,
way home.
Right, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. It's a Tuesday. It's going to get windy today. A lot of hot air from you guys. It's going to get windy today. Really windy today. So be prepared. Highs in the 70s.
Yeah.
While also being damagingly windy. So like a hot wind.
If you pull up the, if you have the same weather app that I do, and maybe the other ones do too, and you pull up today's weather, you're going through and there's like, okay, you get the description of like, all right, wind and okay, hail. And then at the end it says isolated tornado.
Okay.
Possible.
All
great.
Right.
All I'm glad it's an isolated tornado.
Right.
Not a series of them.
Well, the wind gusts are expected to hit the 40s. And a friend asked me to go golfing. I said, I don't think you're
today?
Gonna, yeah. Yesterday he said you want to go play.
That
I said,
like a great
I don't think you're gonna make it out there. It's gonna be rough.
It's good practice to know how to play the wind when you have face it in an important setting.
I guess so. So good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lot happened yesterday, huh? How about it? If anybody wants to just like call in and give us a thought on it, we'll welcome that conversation. What do I want to say? I learned that Elijah Moore has a certain kind of unrestricted free agent tag that I did not know existed.
Me too. He has until training camp to negotiate a deal with another team.
It basically locks in his salary would be about 3.4. So
right.
I learned that Brandon Bean with. One Bills Live confirmed that the Bills had Elijah Moore in for a visit, and then it went well, and they'll go from there.
They also would know what the money would be.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they would know this deal. He's it's an unrestricted free agent tender,
which is weird,
is what it's called. So
it makes him part of the compensatory pick formula if he signs somewhere else.
Yeah, it's if he is unable to sign with another team prior to the first day of training camp, the Browns would retain exclusive negotiating rights at 110% of his salary. Which is $3.4 million. So, actually, does that make it sound like then that Cleveland would be on the hook for $3.4 million and another team wouldn't be? It's a confusing. I didn't know this thing existed.
Me either. Last time it was used was 2022.
All right, well, that would explain why I haven't seen it.
Right. The Chiefs used it on two players in 2022, and that's that. So, I think it kind of lays out what it would cost Elijah Moore. So, that's something we learned yesterday.
And quickly on that, he is a little... I saw a lot of comparisons, just another second-round receiver that the Bills brought in, a former second-round receiver, and he is, and he's not going to go to the top of the depth chart. But I looked at the previous season of all those second-round guys the Bills have brought in over the years and what they had done immediately before getting to Buffalo, and Moore is the only one that even had like any sort of season. He had 61 catches last year. Hamler, before he arrived, had 7. Claypool had 8. Isabella had 2. Chenault had 0. Those are the other second-round, former second-round receivers, and he had 61.
Okay. So he could be in the mix, something that we learned after we spoke to Brandon Bean yesterday when we talked to him. Give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, if you missed it yesterday, maybe you saw it on, ESPN, TSN, Yahoo, the moon. Was it broadcast on the moon?
I might have
made it to Antarctica.
I texted you guys. I learned who in my life are the local news watchers because it was on the local news. Maybe all of them. I don't even know.
Like 11 o'clock last night or 6 p.m. last night?
No, like the 6 p.m. news. Because there was like within a 5-minute window, it was like 12 people. Like, oh, wow, that happened today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had every group chat going, family chats going, a lot of texts, a lot of people texting, a lot of people writing, a lot of people saying a lot of things. So it was spicy. It was interesting.
Yeah. It still confuses me. It still confuses me. The tone that was brought at the beginning of that segment. And that I just... Well, yesterday, a lot of my mental exercise was... It had to be rooted somewhere else. And just, like, I'm thinking about, like, oh, could it be that it's just the Chiefs losing losses over and over are getting to him? Or that somebody else in his room... is wanting wide receiver, or that it really was the media from the other day, the reporters that he brought up, or is it Diggs? He cited Diggs pretty early on. Could it be wanting credit for I made this big move and it worked? Where is all my credit for it? Just like a million different possible scenarios like that, just going through my head, like what on earth caused that? Because it cannot. I listen back to you, to us with Sal, the 3 minutes before, and I just refuse to believe that that pretty tame 3 minutes is what caused this all.
It was a very tame 3 minutes. You know, as you were mentioning, like what got him or what has him on edge or whatever, angry or defensive, defiant or bullish. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he's a victim here or we're victims here. I fully welcome the GM coming on whenever he wants and getting after it. You know, it kind of reminded me of back in the day, and I make this point a lot, and this is not about the Bills specifically, but we live in an NFL era where they control the message, the NFL, so much that any sort of, oh, did you see this? That's why this went everywhere. Because the NFL rarely has fights anymore. There used to be fights in this town all the time. Tom Donahoe started off a movement because he called the fans jerks.
Yes.
That used to happen all the time.
Didn't he have a couple of them?
Probably.
I think Donahoe might have had a couple of them, if I remember right.
He's the GM, if you don't... He's the coach. Help me remember. This is before
2004.
Right.
Early
right.
2000s. Early drought. Yeah.
Right. He's the GM at the time. Right. He's not the coach. I'm getting to another one. There's the get out of town rant. If you don't like it, you can get out of town, which is a famous rant in Bill's history.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you can get out of town. So, you know, on and on, we've had these dust-ups.
These spats.
Sure, yeah. Between coach and coach or media and coach or whatever it might be. It used to be fairly common. And now, to me, that's a big part of this, is that everything is so controlled by the league. I want to get to like the Tyler Dunn story. Like a lot of Tyler Dunn's story was greeted with, oh, what a hit piece. And it was a balanced piece with lots of complimentary stuff and also some criticisms from sources around the league. And it was viewed as it was unbelievable that that could air in 2025 or 2024, whatever.
Yep.
Incredible. That kind of stuff used to be kind of normal. But the NFL has done such a good job of pulling everything in and nothing gets out. That's draft boards. That's everything. And the draft is a great example of all of that ecosystem coming to light. These teams control their message. They might want to draft 7 different players. They get who they get. They come out and they say, we got the best guy on our board, right? Howie Roseman said that the Eagles drafted a top 10 player on their board, 31st. He's a top 10 player. Like, okay, I guess we have to believe that. That might be true. The Bills got a first round graded player. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that they're lying or it's untrue. It's just whatever the teams say tends to kind of just get picked up, and that's the official phrasing. That's how it works.
Yeah. Ken Dorsey got fired, and you never heard about what exactly went wrong or how it went wrong. He goes somewhere else. He keeps quiet. He goes to another organization. And the machine kind of keeps on moving. So 13 seconds. We still don't actually have an explanation of what happened in those moments. Tyler had reporting on that about miscommunication on special teams. And yeah, that's all I'm saying is a lot of times – stuff is going on behind the scenes, and you may hear, let me get one more if I may, the rumors all around town about the Bengals playoff game. The biggest rumors everybody's ever heard. That's never been reported anywhere. Nobody really knows it for sure because the NFL is so very good, and all the NFL teams and markets are really tight. So
yeah,
that's all. Yesterday was a reasonably good few minutes of radio and a GM defending his plan, which is totally fair to do. And, you know, with a little bit of a couple of shots at us and his own fans. I mean, he made a point to try and make people look silly, which I think was a mistake that he might regret. But past that, you know, it was just business. It was just business.
Yep.
Arguing about prospects. Arguing about should you fire the coach.
Right.
That's happened.
Right.
I mean, we had dust-ups on this station with Phil Housley about his player decisions, and
yeah,
that stuff used to happen.
I remember Shope and Bulldog getting into it with Rex about whether they got run over by the Patriots.
Right, right.
That was a fun one.
Right.
They lost like by 40, but they weren't run on.
Tom Donahoe and Shope and the Bulldog, the day that Lossman broke his leg at training camp, was
I don't know that one.
Spicy. Eh, like, show us the tape.
Yeah.
It was like, show us the tape.
Okay.
Because the Bills were telling the story of what happened. Like, oh, is that really what happened?
Uh-huh.
Can we see what happened? Because people that were watching live said that Troy Vincent hit him on purpose. Like, going back all the way to, was that 2004?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think the whole thing is interesting. Is it overblown? Maybe, maybe not. Though the takeaway is that the Bills' strategy, whether it's in year two or whatever, I guess I don't know where it starts and stops and where it ends. I listened back to the entire show before Bean came on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Among the things said by me specifically,
mm-hmm,
I don't want to make today about receiver. I really like what they did in the draft. Direct quote.
Direct quote.
Said yesterday, in the early portions of the show, people called us about wide receiver. Our first caller was about receiver. Mm-hmm. Multiple calls about that. We got calls about the defensive lineman. We talked about that. So, you know, it is also our job to talk about the things that are most important to the fans. And the story of the draft, there's two stories. One, they revamped their defense. And two, they waited longer than everybody thought they would. The GM himself said, I'm surprised I didn't get one until the seventh round.
Right.
So
that, like, there isn't, I don't, the whole thing that's been made of from yesterday, the reaction to it and it actually happening is still, like, again, it is, it's bewildering to me because I don't actually feel like there is, you know, maybe like long term philosophically, there would be a different way of thinking right now between us and especially you on wide receiver and where Brandon Bean might be right now.
Right.
But in terms of what the story of the day was and the draft, I don't really feel like there was that much of a gap.
Right.
Right? Like, it was, well, we don't think they're doing it in round one, and we spent a little bit of time on Luther Burden, but we didn't do whole shows on, oh, this is why they should draft trade up for Tet McMillan,
yep,
in the first round and go all out for it. It's not like we spent weeks on DK Metcalf. We talked about it.
We did.
For sure.
We did.
But it wasn't this three-month-long campaign. We talked more about Myles Garrett.
We talked about Myles Garrett.
Way more about Myles Garrett.
We talked about Trey Hendrickson. I think the
Max Crosby, and Max Crosby was never even near as available as those two probably were.
Wasn't the player I stumped for in the draft the most Malachi Starks?
I was going to say, Friday was just about safety.
Friday, I was sitting here saying they should take a safety.
We didn't even get to safety.
Right.
Yesterday.
They should take a safety. I mean, so anyway, like, we'll get some calls on this if you want to chime in. And we'll, you know, talk about the Bills, not just about this conversation, because now we're reacting to the reaction, but whatever, we're here to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is, like, thinking back to where we are on this, they had seven receivers in for visits,
mm-hmm,
just like they had a bunch of corners, defensive tackles, and defensive ends. It was just lined up as one of the positions we thought they might take. Why did we interview someone from Missouri on Luther Burden? Because right before the draft, all the mocks turned a little bit to Luther Burden might be there.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason we started talking about Malachi Starks. It's
you know, it's draft season. So that's what we did. And
but that wide receiver big board behind you is empty.
Right.
Like, there's nothing on it.
People got mad about
it. We didn't bring it to the draft. There are two draft parties.
Right. A number of people got really mad about us talking in front of the big board, which has been dormant for a year.
I was going to say, there hasn't been anything on it.
We joked about putting a name on it. We kind of didn't. We never did. We never put a name on it.
Well, we'll get to calls here. Like, the thing that just, I think, really, one of the many takeaways you could have from yesterday is the GM feels right now that he is justified in his actions because they were one of the top teams in the league in scoring. And that they think that that's just going to be repeated. And that to me is where my fundamental disagreement is. It's not that it can't happen, but you heard him say it yesterday if you listened to that whole conversation. He believes they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over.
Yep.
That is a part of their blueprint. That is a part of their formula to being one of the best offenses in the NFL. And I believe they will still be one of the best, if not still the best. But being as good as they were last year is going to be extremely difficult, not by anything of their own actions, just on luck, even.
Right. They could have bad luck this time around where more fumbles go the wrong way.
But he sounds like he thinks they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over
again. Right. Well, the other thing I would say about it is, you know, he's bullish on the offense and how, you know, we were number one in scoring, number two in scoring, number one if you include the playoffs. Like, he had a number of stats. Like, we scored more points than the Super Bowl champions. Like, congratulations on some point. But anyway, I don't know why I hear that. I think that's right. You've got an amazing quarterback and you drafted him. It's not like you walked into this. You drafted him. You picked him where you picked him, and you shined him up real nice with the help of the coaching staff. And you've got yourself this living, breathing cheat code.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Bean is feeling like he doesn't get the credit he deserves for building a team that had an offense like that. I think he gets plenty of credit. He definitely has those that question the Kincaid pick, the Coleman pick, the receiver approach. But beyond that, the offensive line's great. He does have – here's one other thing that could be on his mind, and I'll get to calls right after this. He does have an upcoming battle with James Cook. If it's not a full-on battle yet, he might have one. And
right, It could be right now.
It could be an ongoing battle. It could get bigger. It could get nasty. And he might pound the table and say, I'm not paying a running back. That's one more thing about yesterday. The question that I said I wanted to ask during the segment with Sal that maybe he heard and got upset about, that is just a normal question to a GM. I want to ask him, but I ran out of time and things got spicy yesterday. Would you pay a second running back? These are just conceptual questions you ask a general manager after a draft. Do you believe in drafting a running back second overall? Sometimes you ask a question you know the answer to or have an opinion on because you want to have the GM himself say the words. Which he did. He said, no, I don't undervalue the position. Like, all right, good. We've got that. So here we are. Thinking back to when Howard asked Lindy if your team is tough enough. That was right before they fought Lucic. Lindy said, yeah.
I mean, that feels appropriate at the time to ask that question.
Right.
Then,
sometimes you ask a coach if you think you're
like
gonna
after the Miller-Lucic hit?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been sometimes the first question.
Sometimes you have to ask a coach, do you think your job is in jeopardy? Do you think you're going to get fired? Sometimes you have to ask that. Same with the GM. Sometimes there are questions, and this one to me was...
This one's new, though, in that we didn't get to the questions.
That's true. We ultimately did ask it, but the question...
The question was
one of the top three storylines out of the draft. We'll get some phone calls. Ricky on a cell starts us today as we start, and you know we'll look back on this draft and read some more about these players, these prospects, but we'll open up today some phone calls. Good morning, Ricky.
Morning, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Thanks, Ricky.
I'll make it quick. I just want to say I've loved our GM since he's been our GM because of what he's done. The way he went off yesterday, I was at work because I made it to work by then. It left a bad taste in my mouth. I really appreciate what you guys do. I've been listening to you guys for years. While you guys have been on the air, I've had more GMs before him, and I might have GMs after him. So I want to thank you for what you guys do, and thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Ricky.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this Bean versus us thing, by the
no,
way.
No, like
you don't have to take sides. Like, everyone wants them to win the Super Bowl this year.
That's right. And I appreciate the thoughts, Ricky. Like, to me, I don't – let's make it about whether it's Bean or if it's – I thought this as you're talking about, like, what's on his mind. If it's about Rory McIlroy driving away fast because he lost the Open, or if it's about – you know, Diggs getting mad at Allen during a playoff game. On
on the most basic level, I love when the guys that are running my show care.
Yeah.
And if he cares, which I think he does, of course, I think that is good. And if he's mad at me and other Bills fans that think that they have neglected a position, then that's just fine. We can sit here and get on Kevin Adams for neglecting goaltender. And if he yells at us about it, like, all right, well, he's defending himself. But it doesn't mean we don't have the right to talk about it, the fact that it's there. So for Bean to be fiery, I said this yesterday after the segment. I said, you know, he can come in and do that anytime he wants. He can come yell at us. We're big boys. We can handle it. I, of course, took exception to the fantasy football point because I think he's attempting to belittle any fan that thinks that as not a real fan and not understanding real football, saying you have to build a full team as if we don't know that. I mean, we talk about the team 20 hours a week. We are not forgetting about Josh Palmer. We're not forgetting about Dalton Kincaid, two players he said he thinks we're forgetting about. So, you know, we're pretty informed. We do this all the time.
Yes.
You know, this is not a guy shows up at the Super Bowl and asks a question. This was the people that are more connected than anybody that he talks to, more connected than Pat McAfee on the Bills. Yeah. So, whatever. It is what it is. Robert in Halifax. Hey, Robert.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Jeremy. I want to say about yesterday, I have 2 points. One is a serious one about what was talked about yesterday, and the second point is for Joe and his lasagna. But to the first point, I thought Brandon Bean showed, let me say, not his best side of himself, and I thought when he used the B word, I thought he was unprofessional. I thought the way he approached the conversation to start with was did not come in the proper spirit. He's a guest on the show. He represents the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think he represented the Bills in the most favorable light yesterday. You guys were asking legitimate questions. You weren't questioning him on a personal level, but on a professional level, and you were questioning his job and the way he did his job, which is fine, which is good, which is what I think your job is to do. And sometimes you have to ask some questions that can be a bit more, as Jeremy said, spicy. I think you're saying that very nicely. I think you asked legitimate questions, and I think he took it and made it spicy. And secondly, to Joe, I wanted to know what's the secret ingredient in the lasagna. I use a bechamel sauce. I will, if you guys can keep me on so I can listen, because I'm calling from Halifax. Used to live in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Love listening to you guys. Great show. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Robert. Do you have a special lasagna recipe?
No, because what's funny is, like, lasagna is maybe the thing I order the least, like an Italian restaurant.
You don't have a homemade lasagna you go to?
Not really. Make? I'm not really that big a fan of lasagna.
Whoa.
I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Robert. I mean, the one you're talking about maybe sounds good. Like, I would always order something else. Chicken parm, which I know isn't even, like, real Italian.
Doesn't like
it's American Italian, but
Bean's going to call back in and say, all right, now this is too far.
One straw.
This is too much, guys.
I didn't like it. It's just not. It's not my go-to. It's not my favorite.
Rich in Lakeview before the break. Hey, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, you know I call often. I love what you guys do, but what happened yesterday was good radio, guys. I mean, it's one of the reasons you're on YouTube. There's no way you did it purposely, but as of last night, you guys had 33,000 hits, which is about 20 times more in the infancy of putting this on there. There's no way you did it, but fans. We're insatiable, right? You need to do your job. And Bean's in the 54th market. I mean, listen, you don't know. He could have probably had the kids, something happened on the bus on the way in, and he took it, you know, with the kids, he took it out on you. But it was great radio. And I think fans, media, and the teams are in collusion when things like this happen because we are insatiable. We give a crap. I mean, it's better than radio-free savers that we get during every broadcast. I feel bad for Duffer and Marty that they have to smile and grin and when everybody sees what they're seeing. So in a couple weeks, you guys are going to be all hugging up at the charity golf match and fist bumping and doing it. You know that's going to happen, but we got engagement, and it shows that we care. I mean, it's like I look at the farming thing. I heard it 40 years ago. I mean, we have – the show piece with Josh Allen, and we're still milking the cow by hand instead of bringing in technology. And that's so it was just a question asked.
Yep.
I mean, Buffalo media were small, but I think you do a great guy. And like listen, make sure you get a nice selfie and hug up when you guys in June at the golf thing. And Joe, and we're going to be kumbayaing, all three of us fans, you guys, and being great radio. Keep it up.
Thanks, Rich. It does drive home one point, and that is that, you know, how many times did Bills fans yell at each other during the drought? Nah, a million? It was always a fight. We're always fighting about how they could get better.
About everything.
And now, the only times we really yell at each other, and I like to say that sometimes, a joke like, oh, here we go, now we're going to yell at each other about things. Last year, the Worthy trade was this. For me, it was less about the players and more about, oh, no, this is a thing we're all going to get mad at each other about because we're going to talk about this. And Ken Dorsey is one, and the Josh Allen draft is another, and 13 seconds. We kind of go between the draft and the playoffs thinking like, well, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of times where we are arguing about a thing and split. So that's what the draft highlights. It highlights your team taking a direction. And Bean did say something yesterday that I want to get to, and it's more of a McDermott conversation, but you know, just pulling a thing out of his commentary. I did this with his end-of-season presser about Allen, and he said something yesterday about McDermott that I want to get to. But Bills fans, it's been a nice road these last 5-6 years. And that's not lost on anybody. Yesterday, as soon as I left, I went and picked up an order at BJ's. And two people, I'm just out of the building for 7 minutes.
Yep.
And two people recognized me and said something about this segment. First guy says, Brandon Bean's looking for you in the back. Which I thought was funny. And then the next guy walks by and says, appreciate good football. I'm like, thanks, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like if that's your message, you're missing a lot of what this is. So 803-0550 is our number, and 1-888-550-2550. We'll get more calls in. I want to ask about McDermott and what this draft does for him, for Bean, because, listen, last year was a transition. We're supposed to be bad. They loved to sell that point, and they can't do that this year. People are going to expect him to be great again. And with that comes pressure. Maybe the pressure is back. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.